And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone! Welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, when General Grievous launches a full-scale attack on the pirate base on Florum, Ahsoka and the Younglings fight side-by-side with Hondo and his pirates to turn back the Separatist forces. They'll be Greedy and Hondo and kids, and we're talking about a necessary bond this week. Chris, Rebels is ending tonight.
Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your mind on Clone Wars, Hope.
Rebels is ending tonight. Clone Wars is never over because they could always finish it in the future. It was open-ended and there's all these stories they could still make. But Rebels is ending tonight.
At least you got an hour and a half of it.
I'm not ready. But I am.
In like 8 months, we'll be watching whatever's next, you know?
I know, but I'm actually, I was talking to somebody about it today. I'm actually really glad they're getting to conclude the story, unlike what happened with Clone Wars. So I am really happy they're getting a chance to conclude the story, which is so nice. I know one thing about the finale tonight, and that's all I know. So I'm going in fresh, and I have no idea what they're going to do with the characters. I don't know what they're going to do going forward. I mean, I guess we know a few things. Like, we know Hera makes it to the Battle of Endor. So, like, I know Hera's going to be safe, and that's nice.
And
but,
Rex.
Like, the rest? Yes. I'm only saying that because it was never a 100% confirmation that that's his Endor clothes. They were just like, it's stylized this way, wink, wink, nod, nod. But it was never like, this is Rex at the Battle of Endor. So we don't actually know, but at least I know that Hera and Chopper make it to Endor, which is nice. So I'm okay with that, but we don't know what happens to the rest of the Ghost crew, and I'm scared and excited and terrified and happy and tragically depressed.
I was just doing a little math in my head, and I think by the time we get to Rebels, they'll have started the new, whatever the new show is. Whatever the new Filoni show is. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Because this is season 5. All we have left is season 6.
Right.
But season 6 was a half season. It was only like 12 episodes.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
So yeah, I mean,
and then we'll do a little clean up with the Tarkovsky one. And
I know, I've been wanting to, and we've talked about doing like what takes place in Clone Wars and like what would have been season 7 and season 8 that's still considered canon. Mm-hmm. And those books, too.
But that's all just sort of cleanup work.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's going to take a couple episodes. I'm still not sure how to do it. Because something like the Dark Disciple book was supposed to be like 10 episodes of Clone Wars. It was supposed to be massive. And I would like to talk about the Ahsoka book because that takes place between Rebels and... So it's going to be... I'm not quite sure how the best way to do that, but we have some time to...
We have some time to figure it out.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is that I think we're never going to have a gap of running out of things to do for the show.
Yeah. Did you have a good week?
So far, so good. We had a nice little snowstorm here.
You were in that big, crazy nor'easter.
Yeah. Dropped like 2 feet of us, 2 feet on us overnight. And then it's just been slowly melting off since then.
Wow. We've been so nice, like, in the 70s, and we were just bitching because it was only in the 50s today.
We had a day, the day before the nor'easter hit us, it was 60 degrees here. So it's weird. We had a really weird winter. It was either winter or it was weird spring-like weather. Very strange.
We Yeah, we did too. We had like, usually it snows like, usually we get a little ice and it might snow once a year, but usually we get ice. But like, we had like 3 accounts of snow this year and we were just like, whoa, look at all the snow.
It's like we usually have snow all winter, or at least the temperature for snow all winter, and they were predicting it was going to be really cold this winter, and we had a couple really cold days, and we had like one or 2 weeks where we had a real nice cold, you know, a sub-zero cold snap here, but then it would get up into the 40s and 50s, so it was strange. We had a white Christmas.
We didn't. We have.
Yeah, but you're not expecting them down there, you know.
No, they're like surprises. I don't think we've had a white Christmas since like the 90s.
It's supposed to be the rule up here.
Yeah, like for us, like we usually get our snow in January. So that's why it was so weird, like mid-December, we got like 3 inches of snow. And we were just like, what the fuck is happening? Like, because we always get our snow in like January, maybe February. So we were panicking at like December, and it was fun. But it was like really Christmassy. I was driving to work and there's snow everywhere. And I was like, it's Christmas! I was really excited. Well, I'm ready to get into this episode, are you?
I am. I know where you want to go, Hope.
T-minus 23 minutes until Rebel.
I don't think we'll get this done in 23 minutes, but
we can try. No. We're going to give everybody our Jagas and Jedi, like, full of tension, maybe.
Better be drinking some, like, Monster energy drink or something if
oh,
you want to do
coffee.
This.
I have coffee.
23 minutes.
I got my coffee. I'm drinking out of my My Little Pony cup. My big My Little Pony cup that I love. So, all right. Here we go. A Necessary Bond is the 97th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on November 24th, 2012. It was written by Christian Taylor and directed by Danny Keller. Some extra information for you. This episode answers what happened to Hondo's base, which was seen destroyed in the season opener Revival. Originally, Revival was planned to air later in the season in proper chronological order, but it was moved to the start in order to better showcase Darth Maul's storyline. The Slave One made its first appearance back in Season 2. In that episode, the ship still bore Jango Fett's paint scheme. In the intervening time, Hondo repainted it with the colors it will bear when it becomes Boba Fett's vessel. That's all I got. Hmm. What you?
Yoda's
what you
got vessel?
A vessel?
Blood
does
vessel?
It have, is it like a submarine? Does it have a little semen in it?
Oh!
I got jokes! I made myself laugh. I'm
Yoda
sorry.
Yoda doesn't get it.
I think I caught Yoda off guard there with my semen joke. Well, this is the last week you have to be clean, Yoda. The children are gone after this week.
Go home.
Windu will stop chasing you with wet blankets and he'll get all the kids off your yard.
Go home already.
I just imagine like Windu with a rake like swiping the kids off Yoda's yard like get out of here, fool.
Yoda needs alone time.
Babysitting with seriously, did they leave you on Ilum? Mm. Just like left you on the planet.
Yoda only knows how to make space bologna and cheese sandwiches too, so that's all they get.
Alright, what's the platitude this week?
Choose your enemies wisely, as they may be your last hope in bed.
That's bad. What?
It's got your name in there. This one's about your enemies. And then you might be their last hope in bed, which...
I'm just happy that I've never been so desperate that I had to, like, turn to enemies in bed. Like, I'm okay with that because...
I don't know if your name is like common enough that like people would be, when it says that they may be your last hope, as if somebody's had a string of hopes in their bed.
Ugh. Yeah, I don't think so. I very rarely meet other hopes. The only hope that I actively know of is my coworker's best friend is named Hope, and so she'll be like, Hope said the funniest thing the other day, and then I'll be like, I did! She's like, no, other Hope. And I was like, oh, I thought I said something funny.
See, I've heard of other hopes, but you're the only actual hope that I know personally.
I'm here.
Just like I used to work with a Mimi, and she was the only Mimi I've ever met. She's the only Mimi I've ever met in my life.
Man, the only Mimi I'm familiar with is the one in Digimon from like when I was a kid. I love her. I need to finish Digimon Try. I never finished it. But it was so long. Every episode's like a tiny movie and there's fucking 9 of them. Ugh.
9 Sorry, I'm tiny reminiscing. Movies.
Yeah, they're like an hour long and there's 9 of them. That's like 9 hours of my life.
That is 9 hours. That's good. Good help.
Shut up!
It's good to see all those years out of college. Your knowledge isn't slipping.
That's the second time today someone's got me for math. Because earlier, I was trying to add up, because I splurged today, because I was like, I saw some, like, peach, like, seltzer carbonated water. And it was a big bottle for, like, 59 cents. And I was like, cool, I'm going to get that. And I was talking to my stepmom about it. And I was like, yeah, I usually don't get stuff like that because, like, it doesn't seem like a lot at the time, but it does add up over time. And then I just started trying to do math in my head of, like, okay, what's, like, 50 cents every day for a year? And I was thinking about it, and my dad looks at me, and he's just like, he throws out a number, he's just like, one, and I looked at it, and I was like, wow!
182.5.
I was like, holy crap, that's
it's
amazing!
365 divided by 2.
Wow, they actually added, like, you know, 50 cents per week times 4 for the month times 12 for the year.
I don't
that's
know if you guys
did.
Have deposit down there, too, but you gotta add in deposit here in New York. 5 cents deposit on every carbonated bottle.
Really?
Or just what water.
Why?
So you turn them back in so they get recycled. So people don't throw them away.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
You don't well, have... Oh, that's right. That's right. Everybody down south just throws their cans and bottles away.
I put mine in the recycling bin. Thank you.
You don't have to. You know, you have no reason. Cans and bottles are money up here, you know. Everybody saves their cans and bottles, and you take it back to the store, and you get 5 cents a piece for them. I owe someone $20 that I'm pissed off at that I'm going to pay him back in 5 or 6 big garbage bags full of bottles. Here you go, buddy.
That's amazing. Man, I wish we did that down here. Huh. Anyway, Act 1. Okay. The last few weeks, Ahsoka ventured into the Babysitter's Club for Jedi, escorting 6 younglings on a holy trip called The Gathering. They went to Ilum, found their kyber crystals for their lightsabers, and was road tripping back home with a cool bot named Professor Hugh Yang, who will teach the kids how to make their lightsabers. But uh-oh, Hondo attacked their ship and accidentally captured Ahsoka. The younglings ended up putting on their rendition of A Bug's Life to save her. The episode ended with them fleeing into the wilds of Florum on a speeder. Also, Obi-Wan had a big space battle with General Grievous that kept him from saving the kids. Now, I'm going to read what I've copied and pasted from the last 2 weeks about the children because I'm way too lazy to write it again. The kids consist of Katuni, who is the sensible one, Petro, who is overconfident and bragging, Biff, PH, the Ithorian, who we call Biff, like Back to the Future, Gnody, the Rodian, who we call Sassy Star Eyes, Zat is the tech guy, who we called Kid Fisto, and Gunji is the Wookiee, who I just make adorable baby Wookiee names for. On to this week! The episode picks up where we left off last week, with Ahsoka and the kids running from the pirates, trying to make it back to the ship where Sassy Star Eyes is waiting for them. She's fixed Professor Hewing's head, but he still doesn't have any arms, and she's excited to hear from her friends. Ahsoka sends her the coordinates to meet her at the ship. R2 takes control of the ship while Hugh Yang and Sassy Star Eyes head to the boarding ramp. The kids get topside of the tank, and Ahsoka wedges a mask from last episode to keep the tank moving forward. Biff jumps to the ship, but the mask falls off the steering wheel, making the tank veer. Petro hops down in there to control it. But uh-oh, there's a cliff up ahead. Adorable baby Wookiee is holding onto Biff's legs on the crucible. Petro yanks the tank to the side, turning away to avoid going over the cliff. As the crucible pulls back around again, the pirates shoot out the engines. Ahsoka gives R2 the order to abandon ship. Everyone gets out the ship, but the crucible crashes. Their only way off planet is now destroyed. Ahsoka, Hugh Yang, and the kids are recaptured by the pirates. Why'd you think of Act 1?
Nice fast-paced beginning.
That was, like, my only actual note about the episode. I had, like, a completely side note that had nothing to do with the episode.
I like that speeder, so I got to see more of it, so that was cool. It was a nice chase. Super short first act. Like, I mean, now that I've got the ones with the commercials, you know, usually I'm just sort of paying attention to where, you know, you see your little scrolling line through the show, and usually when it gets about a third of the way there, that's when the act will end. But this one is like 6 minutes, 5.5 minutes, just long enough to have that chase, basically. I mean, that's all it is, really.
Can I say that, like Sassy Star Eyes is very strong, because at one point she had like 4 younglings hanging off her hands and she was holding all of them up.
Yeah, including the, like, Wookiee, who's got to be probably denser and heavier than the other kids, I'll bet. I'll bet he's dense muscle and he's got probably 25, 30 pounds of fur on him.
Yeah, but I was impressed. Like when she grabbed Biff, I was like, wow, cool. And then she, like, the Wookiee jumped on, and I was like, whoa, she's holding 2 people. But at one point, like, all 4, like, 4 out of 6 kids were holding on to her, and
you gotta wonder if they're, like, you know, making up for some of the weight by the force, you know? She's maybe pulling with the force a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Not like Ahsoka, who can just lift somebody up and chuck them behind her with the force, but enough to, like, so where her arm doesn't pull out of its socket.
But... for all we know, like, I'm waiting for, like, Genodia to, like, flex and her shirt, like, sleeves rip off and just, like, bruh. She's looking swole.
But it was just, that's a nice Star Wars opening, just with a little chase set piece, you know? And
it was kind of sad that the Crucible crashed. That ship's, like, 1,000 years old. I mean, it's probably crashed, like, 12 times, but...
Yeah, yeah, they could probably patch it up or whatever, you know. They're not going to need it for much longer.
Yeah.
I said that like a droid. Wasn't that, they're not going to need it for much longer.
I know, but it was just funny. It took me a second to realize you were talking about Order 66.
Yeah, basically.
I wonder, actually, if they have a few, and, like, that's why Yoda stayed behind. Like, maybe there's a few younglings at a time going to Ilum.
There's probably a couple more gatherings between now and Episode 3, but, you know.
Like, maybe this was just, like, this trip with these 6 kids and Ahsoka, but as soon as they left, like, another Crucible ship showed up with its own Hugh Yang.
It could be one showed up with Joe Camel on it and a bunch of kids. They could just be cycling right through, yeah.
Like, that's the graduation class of whatever year of Star Wars this is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how fast they're churning out Jedi, you know?
My chair is extra squeaky today.
WD-40. That's what I fixed mine with.
Because I usually rock in my chair, but it's, like, squeaking.
Too bad
I can't
just reach to the computer. I just hand you my spray can of WD-40. A couple squirts on the joint like the Tin Man, and it's good to go.
Huh. I wonder if we have any. Anyway, sorry, total side note. I just noticed my chair is squeaking.
There you go, podcasting hint right there, WD-40, something you wouldn't think you'd need for a podcast.
Did you have anything else for Act 1?
That's all I had, yeah.
I only have one other note, because my only note for the act was I just really liked the opening scene. It was just a cool action-packed opening. But something I wanted to share... In the last week, I've been watching a lot of, like, Star Wars theories videos, and one that I kept seeing that I thought was very fitting is about the planet of Ilum, that we saw in the first episode of this arc, and it's the big ice planet that the kids got their kyber crystals from. And one theory that I keep seeing that pops up is that Ilum is the planet that Starkiller Base from Force Awakens was built into. Because a lot of the comparisons are Ilum's in wild space, and that is mostly uncharted, and Starkiller Base was in wild space, that's mostly uncharted. Starkiller Base was an ice planet, and we saw that Ilum was an ice planet, and the place where Hux gave his big speech looks a lot like the mountainside where the kids arrived, and then they opened the door to the Jedi Temple.
Ilum has a lot of kyber crystals in it.
And that's the other part of the thing. It's all the kyber crystals in the planet are powering the base. So I just thought that was a really cool theory that was, like, pretty fitting for this arc.
It's very possible, yeah.
But
I
there's
wasn't,
nothing.
I was at first. I was sort of like, okay, but nah, it sounds actually reasonable.
Yeah, and I know in the Ahsoka books, in the Ahsoka book, when she actually returned to Ilum because she wanted to get a Kyber crystal, because you know she had she left her lightsabers at the fake grave that her and Rex made for her, so she didn't have a lightsaber. So she actually went back to Ilum to try and find a lightsaber crystal, and when she got there, the Empire was already there, and they had knocked down the door to the temple, and they were already pillaging it. And I was thinking, like, well, a lot of the First Order came from the leftovers of the Empire. So I could even see, like, that early on, because Starkiller Base probably took a long time to build, like, easily the 20 years, and probably another 30 years, because, you know, they built a fucking gun inside a planet. So I could see that was the beginning of Starkiller Base. I just thought that was a really cool theory that I could be like, yeah, I could see that. I could get on board with
totally
that.
Totally see that, yeah.
Better than Darth Jar Jar. Play the music, Chris! We haven't had Darth Jar Jar music in so long.
Thank God.
I love that music, though.
There
you
hasn't
be
been a lot of Jar Jar lately, that's why. We haven't had cause to bring him into the mix.
But yeah. Well, that's all I have for Act 1.
Alright, Act 2?
T-minus eight minutes until Rebels. Okay, Act 2. Here we go. As the pirates approach the base, they see a droid fleet landing at the pirate hideout. The Separatists and General Grievous have come knocking for Hondo. Grievous rolls up into Hondo's crib, shooting a couple of his men. And Hondo is like, what the hell is happening? What is this thing that is happening? I need more wine. And Grievous literally stands on Hondo's table, declaring that Florum is under Separatist rule now. And Hondo's like, are you fucking kidding me? Right in front of my salad. And Grievous shows, God, you should look up that meme, it's great. Grievous shows the holoscape of Dooku, who isn't the biggest fan of Hondo since the pirate captured the Count and then tied him to two Jedi. Because Dooku remembers shit like that. And he plans on taking everything that Hondo owns and melting it down. Because Dooku is petty and getting back at Hondo finally for season one. Dooku never forgets. Meanwhile, the pirates with the kids are not sure what to do. Ahsoka points out that if Grievous is there, then Obi-Wan must have been beaten, which we saw in the last episode. The pirates want to trade Ahsoka to get Grievous to Grievous to let them go. But Ahsoka points out that Grievous probably isn't making deals. The pirates would be fucked as the Separatists probably control the entire star system now. She says that they have a common enemy in Grievous and that they need a ship. The pirates say that Hondo has a private fleet of ship, but only Hondo knows where they are. And Ahsoka's like, well, let's save Hondo! And the pirates join her. R2 distracts some droids while Ahsoka, the pirates, and the kids sneak back onto base. Hondo hears blasters outside his prison cell. The door opens and it's Ahsoka's kid pirate gang. I like that, Ahsoka's kid pirate gang. It's like the Grave Pirate Roberts, but Ahsoka's kid, anyway.
It's like Ahsoka R2's droid armies that he gets, misfit droid armies.
Ahsoka gives Hondo a choice. Be friends to get out of there, or die. Hondo's not so sure, but the kids are ready to fight. Hondo encourages them to see their lightsabers, but Katooni still can't get hers to work. Hu Yang encourages her not to give up, and Hondo is like, I want to see you make a lightsaber! Do it now! Do it now! This is so cool! Ah! And the pirates are like, shouldn't we be running away? And Hondo is like, you uncultured swines! This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity! Do it now, girl! And Katooni sits down with her lightsaber pieces. With Hondo's amazed encouragement, Katooni makes her lightsaber and cuts him free. Ahsoka asks why Hondo had a change of heart since he attacked them a few episodes ago. Hondo doesn't like taking children into battle, and he wanted to make sure that they were all ready. Today's a new day for the pirate. They free Hondo's men, and it's time to face Grievous.
Yeah, bullshit. Hondo he's an opportunist.
Oh, totally!
It's
totally
a change of heart.
But I do have to say, like, I'm not surprised by it either, because we saw kind of his uncle, weird uncle sort of side back in season 2 with Boba Fett, and he was very fatherly towards Boba Fett because he was friends with Jango. And so I do think Hondo does on occasion like feel for kids and sympathize with kids and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. he enjoys life, and like that the lightsaber thing is just pure like it, he that's an honest moment for him. He's just like, I want to see how, you know, now I can say I saw a Jedi make their lightsaber. Who can say that, you know?
Yeah.
And that he is truly just like fascinated with seeing something new. He's you know, I mean, if he's an adrenaline junkie in some ways, you know, he's one of those type of people. But yeah, I like how he's given orders even when he's in his restraints. He's still like sort of, you know, bossing people around. Although I have to say, my Grievous voice sounds a little low energy in this for some reason.
Yeah, this episode sounds off. Like he said something very.
His voice or something is like.
And the way he said something, like a few things, sounded very like.
It doesn't have the deep metallic edge that it usually did.
But like specific words sounded like way too formal for Grievous. He was just like, we have the planet now. Like it sounded very stilted. Stilted's the word I'm looking for. A lot of how he spoke certain things, like he said very proper sentences, and it was very odd for him.
Yeah, he was something was not quite on with Grievy in this part. But not to worry, I'm just waiting to get to part three. That's all I got for part two. Part three is when I get my Grievy on.
Mm-hmm. For me, I'm just really happy that Professor Huyang is back. I'm just happy he's here.
It's like two and a half lines, but I was wondering if they were going to give him any lines because it's like those are expensive lines.
Well, just like little things too, like him on the gangplank last act, and like he was like running out there to pull up the kids. I'm like, you don't have arms. How the hell are you going to pull up some kids? And like when he, like in the next arc, like when he falls over, he uses his head to stand back up again. I was just like, and I just like really like him encouraging Katuni, and like I love the character. I love the character of Huyang. I think he's such a cool character. I really want to see him again in some other Star Wars media, like maybe in the comics or something, because he's just a really cool character. So. While it's not as fun as the Jar Jar Grievous scene, I really enjoy seeing Grievous and Hondo face off. I really like that. And then I started thinking about, like, you know, other random pairings that it would be fun to see Grievous pair up with. But then after that, I started wondering, what would have happened if Grievous lived past episode 3 and, like, went into the Empire years?
Oh, it would... Well, it would be great.
Because I have to actually wonder how well he would have fared. Because in the Clone Wars, Anakin clearly doesn't like him, so I would assume that Vader wouldn't like him either. But I also think that the Emperor would recognize, like, Grievous's cruelty for a while and, like, use him in that way just to help transition power.
And maybe Anakin would, you know, like, try to manipulate it a little bit to where Grievous got mashed up somewhere, you know?
Yeah. The only thing I have to wonder is, like, at the end of the day, Grievous is still an alien, and the Empire is very anti-alien, so I would have to wonder if, like, they would just kind of, like, cast him out, and Grievous being off on his own, just being like, oh, revenge! I gave everything to the Separatists.
That's what I would rather have, actually. Just a free-range Grievy.
Yeah, like, he can't even go, like, a Darth Maul route where like, this dark horse out in the Outer Rim.
Except he doesn't need to get fake legs.
What if Grievous became, like, a bounty hunter for, like, Jabba?
Yeah, he would totally be great at something like that.
Oh, that would be amazing!
Bounty hunter for anybody.
Yeah, but, like, especially with, like, Jabba, that'd be deadly. That'd be awesome. Luke would be like, where'd you get those lightsabers? Could you tell me about them? Can you tell me things about the Jedi?
Yeah, it would have been really cool for him to show up in Empire Strikes Back when Vader's hiring all the bounty hunters, and just have Grievous in and have him go like, ah, Grievous.
I feel like Vader
Grievous
would be
has
more petty.
Like one less arm, you know, and
I feel like Vader would be more petty. He'd be like, Bossk, cool, Boba Fett, cool, Grievous.
Yeah, see you later.
Moving on.
Yeah.
So, the only other note that I have is, last week we were saying that the Obi-Wan and Grievous space battle seemed kind of pointless, But now we see here that it came back. It was actually important because Grievous took over the star system in that time. Though I still stand by, I wish that it was trimmed down more last week, so it would have more, you know, we would still have more time for the kids. It still could have been trimmed down.
Oh, they could have totally trimmed it down, because it turns out we don't see any of it in this one at all. So it's like...
Yeah.
So
I swore there was a point where, like, Obi-Wan showed up, because on StarWars.com, there's a picture of him crashed, and a clone is holding him, like helping him stand. But I guess it's from another episode, because I saw that, like, last week episode when I was looking for the trivia, and I was like, okay, well, where's Obi-Wan? And then, again, I'm just like, where's Obi-Wan?
Yeah, it was just sort of wasted time last week.
Though, still going off what we were talking about last week about how it'd been fun if Cody was here during all this, I still think it would have been cool if Cody was here during all this.
Yeah.
Because I think, actually, him and Ahsoka would be butting heads a lot, because, like, Cody would be trying to take command, but Ahsoka would be like, look, I've dealt with Hondo more, I know how to deal with him. And, like, Cody would be like, I know you're my general, but, like, this is a battle, I should take the lead. And, like, Ahsoka's like, but I should do it. And, like, I actually would have liked to see some of that, like, if Cody had come, seeing how they butt heads, because Cody's not Rex, and Ahsoka's used to Rex. So, I don't know, I just... Actually, though, I think Ahsoka still outranks Cody, so I think if Ahsoka says something, Cody would have to go along with it. Because she's a general.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. But I still would have liked to see a little bit of that, of, like, Cody just being like, I don't think we should take kids into battle. That seems like you kind of agree with the pirate on this one. But I just want more Cody stories, because we haven't had a lot of Cody stories, and that would be fun. More Cody stories. That's all I have for Act 2.
All right, I'm ready for Act 3, because this is where I get my Grievy on. Mm-hmm.
And Rebel started 3 minutes ago. Let's go. Act 3. Three for 3 minutes ago. Grievous gets a call that his droids are under attack by tiny Jedi. Not like Yoda tiny Jedi, but like half a human-sized Jedi, but little, because droids probably don't have much of a concept of what a child is, since they're created, not born. Grievous is hella confused until he sees Petro attack the droid. Grievous orders the droids to get ready to fire on the base. And as they fire the cannons, Ahsoka leads the pirates out into a battle. And then Hondo, with his bitchin' pirate swords, and the younglings follow up in the rear. They push through the droid army to get to some speeders. Katooni hops on with Hondo while the other kids and Ahsoka get a tank. They flee, but Grievous is super excited about the chase. There's a chase through a gorge, but Hondo and Katooni get separated from the rest of the group. Hondo tells her not to worry, and they arrive at a secret ship base. Hondo's gonna run away, and Katooni pulls the good guy guilt trip, but she also has a pouty child face to go with it, and she gives her best big eyes and says, "But we saved your life, Mr. Hondo. I won't leave my friends. You can go if you want. I'm just a little girl facing the droid arm while you're a big, strong pirate. I thought you were brave." And Hondo's like, "Christ, just stop it! I'm coming! Wait, god damn it!" Meanwhile, Grievous jumps on Ahsoka's speeder and fights her. And Huang tells R2 to drive the speeder aggressively. B, aggressive. B-E, aggressive. Well, R2 is too aggressive and crashes the speeder, throwing everyone off of it. Suddenly, they hear the metal click, 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 and Grievous runs out of the dust. Ahsoka stands in front of the children, who are all ready to fight, really having no idea what they're about to fight. Suddenly, the Slave One rises up behind them, and Katooni yells for everybody. Ahsoka tells the children to run. Ahsoka faces Grievous, giving the kids enough time to board the ship. Holding him off long enough, Ahsoka dumps on the Slave One, and Honda's like, "Hey, bitch, Grievy, remember when you walked into my crib and stood on my table in front of my salad?" And Hondo shoots the crap out of Grievy. But the Separatist tank arrives. It's time to run, and they leave Grievous in the dust. Hondo takes them to Obi-Wan and is super excited to charge his best friend for all the costs of saving the children. Because Hondo knows that you can totally buy friendship. When he sends the Jedi, he will send the Jedi Council his bill. With one last look to Katooni, giving her an uncle-like wink, Hondo leaves. And Huang is like, "This was a fun mission. like what happened when Yoda got his crystal. Once upon a time, there's a little frog guy named Yoda, and Obi-Wan interrupts going, "We are 21 minutes in the school, those credits, the end."
This is the part I've been waiting for.
Yeah, the click, 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 click.
Oh, yeah. Most of my notes are in capitals.
Oh, that was like the best part of the episode.
I love Greavy's ride that he's got, his boss Greavy bike. And then he does a spider Greavy through the sand. Come on. Then he grabs Ahsoka and does a foot toss. Then, when they finally beat him and they just start blasting him with lasers, he just rolls up in a fetal position. It's beautiful. But, yeah, that made the Greavy made the whole episode. That fight with Greavy made the whole episode for me. The only other note I have is it's kind of funny when the kids make their own little lightsaber butthole symbol at the end. That's totally what I thought about it when I saw it. I'm like, oh, it's the symbol of the butthole or an asterisk or whatever, but it's a lightsaber butthole.
Oh, man. Yeah, for me, like, that shot where, like, the dust is everywhere and, like, you can barely see the kids and you just hear...
Yeah.
Oh, God, like, that moment, and you see Grievous come out of the dust? Oh, God,
Wait till you see the introduction of Greavy and the Tarkovsky. You'll see why that's even better.
I can't wait, because that was such a good moment, because you saw the fear on their face of, like,
what the hell is that? Yeah.
What is that?
Whatever it is, here it comes.
I like that the battle droids have no concept of what a child is, because they were like, they're tiny Jedi, but not like half Jedi. What's a half Jedi called? What? I'm dying! I liked that moment. It was funny.
You would think they would just think they were short aliens like Yoda.
Yeah. But I guess, like, in their mind, they were like, okay, this Jedi looks like a human. But it's not a big human. It's a half a human. What's a half a human? I don't understand. Roger, roger. So, yeah. I finally got my answer, because way back in season 2, the Slave 1 crashed, and I've been debating for 2 seasons, like, whether the Boba Fett's ship is the Slave 2, not the Slave 1. But Hondo must have, like, rebuilt it and painted it, because he has it, and it's working, and it's totally fine. So, it is the Slave 1. I finally got my answer after, like, 2 fucking seasons.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Well, that you also know that Hondo and Boba must team up or meet up at least at some point.
Maybe Boba, like, wins the... Well, we do know that in the time of the Empire, like, when the Empire came around, Hondo's gang broke up, because we also see him in Rebels. He's just this, like, lonely old man that's, right, like, blundering from mission to mission. So I wouldn't be surprised, like, when his gang broke up, if he had to sell the ship, and Boba was like, that's mine. That was my dad's. Give me my ship. And, like, Boba got it off him that way, because Grievous, or Hondo probably was just like, I need money. Here, have your shit back. Yeah. So for me, like, the last 3 episodes, they're okay. Like, they're good, they're fun, but they're okay. But in this one, like, while it's a little bit predictable, I really enjoyed this the best of the 4. I think it's a good culmination of, like, the past 3 episodes into 1 episode.
Yeah, I'm right with you on that one.
Yeah. Has Ahsoka fought Grievous since season 1 when she stopped Grievous from killing Rex?
I don't think so. I think it's mostly been, Obi-Wan.
Yeah, okay. No, I mean, I don't have a point to go with this. I was just trying to remember if Ahsoka's fought Grievous since season 1. And, yeah, no, there's absolutely no point to this. I was just trying to remember, and I was just wanting to check with you. Man, I would love to know what happened when Yoda got his kyber crystal and what adventure Hu Yang was about to tell them.
Yeah, that's the gag. I hate when they do that.
Like, when Master Yoda was little, oh, well, we can't talk about it right now, or just, oh, God, I would have loved to know what Hu Yang was about to say. In the past, we talked about how, like, working with Ahsoka and Obi-Wan was what made Hondo open up to working with Ezra in the future during Rebels. But I think a lot of it is this arc too. I mean, like, he kind of formed like a tiny little like temporary friendship with Katooni. You know, he tried to kill these kids, and these kids kind of forgave him, and they rescued him, and they protected him. So I think, like, this is also just, like, another layer to add to, like, this is why Hondo trusts Ezra in the future.
Yeah, I mean, if the Jedi are treating him fairly or well after what he pulled in the second episode of this, then he should take that into consideration.
Yeah.
Because it's like, usually you get thrown in space jail for stuff like that. I'm sure there's some sort of jail sentence for what he did to Ahsoka.
Yeah, probably. And he did try to murder the kid. Because even Obi-Wan points it out. He was like, Bill us, didn't you try to hijack a ship? And Hondo's like, unbelievable. You don't believe me. Ugh. I'm going to walk away now and bill you later when you can't look at me. Obi-Wan, my best friend.
In jail, yeah.
So... that's all my notes for the episode. I only have one other thing that I just want to say. Okay, so next week we are starting my least favorite episode of Clone Wars.
Ooh.
I have been bitching and complaining about it for so many seasons, and the next four episodes are my least favorite four episodes. I'm not really looking forward to them, but I do want to say this. I've only seen these episodes once, and it was a couple years ago, so the only episode I really, really, really remember is the 100th episode. So I'm going to make a pledge that I'm going to go into these episodes really open-minded. I'm going to be very open-minded to them, because I might like them better than I remember, especially like when I was talking about the Mon Cala arc at the beginning of season 4, I wasn't excited about that arc too, and I ended up enjoying it a lot more the second time around than the last time I had watched Clone Wars. So, guys, I promise I'm not just going to, like, closed-mindedly pour haterade on the next four episodes. I'm going to go into them with an open mind and see if I still hate them. Because I don't want you guys
well,
to have to listen to
wait.
Next four episodes of me bitching. I'm actually going to try and, like, find worse. But, like, I remember the reasons why I hate these episodes. And a few of you guys have said in our comments on Two True Freaks Facebook page that you guys hate these episodes, too. So we'll see. But, like, I do remember the exact reasons why I hate these episodes. So I want to... Now that we've had some time and I have Chris here, because Chris, I think you're going to really like the episodes. I think they're kind of.
I was just
going
to say, I think I'm going to like these just to be a jerk.
No, I think because there's a lot of droid stuff. I think they introduce a new character that you're either going to like or not like, but I think you're going to like him. I think he's really up your alley. I think you're actually really going to like these episodes. And so that might make me like the episodes, having somebody to talk with them about, instead of me just watching them going,
yeah, I might
this
bring
really
your score up a half point or so, but
yeah, like I like talking with you and stuff like that. Like, cause when I watched them the first time I went, wow, these are really boring. Nothing is happening for three episodes. And this Gascon guy is a fucking dick. so I really dislike this arc, but I think watching it with you and talking about it, like, I want to at least be open-minded that I might actually like them, but I don't know because there are
Sounds
massive problems.
Encouraging.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing, well, I don't want to say it now because I don't want to, like, jade you to it, but I have a massive problem with General Gascon, which is a new character we meet next week. I have one major flaw with him, but I want to watch it again to see if that flaw is still there, and it might still be there, so we'll see. And because, like, he's a big reason why I dislike the arc too. So, but yeah, that's all I have. So, do you want to score up the last of this kitty arc?
I will. I went high on this one. I gave it a 9 out of 10.
Wow!
All for that last. Well, I liked the first. The middle was like, oh, okay, it wasn't bad. But it had a strong beginning, and then I just got all the gravy that I would want in an episode. It was just like. Greavy fighting, smashing people around, and then getting defeated and, like, crawling away in a fetal position. 9.0. the best one of the whole arc.
Mine
All because of Greavy.
Mine was the best one of the whole arc, too, because I think the first one was a 7, second one was a 7.5, third one was a 7. And this week, I mean, I like this finale of this arc. I like seeing this kind of weird uncle side of Hondo. I think it's a nice side of him that we don't really get to see and we haven't seen since the Boba Fett arc way back in season two. And it's a nice, just action-packed conclusion to the kids arc. It just takes everything from the last three episodes and plays it out. And Ahsoka is awesome. She gets to fight Grievous again, which is always fun. And I like them teaming up with Hondo and Katooni hanging out with Hondo and stuff. And all in all, it's just a fun little end to an arc, and I really enjoyed it. So I gave it an 8 out of 10. So, yeah. That was my highest of the arc, too. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, and on the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on iTunes, because when you rate and review the show on iTunes, it helps people find the show. So if you like our show, and I know you guys, well, maybe you guys turn off, they're like, okay, the episode's over, and they turn it off right here, and then they never hear this part. Well, if you're hearing this part and you never left us a review on iTunes, go check it out. It'd be really, really helpful for us. This week, our feedback comes from the Two True Facebook page for our episode, Frontrunners. Take it away, Chris. I'm going to drink my coffee.
All right. The first one here comes from Gene Hendricks, and he says, my thoughts on the old EU. Prior to 1999, there was no problem picking a book up, knowing where it fit in. Lucasfilm was very good about coordinating what happened when, and many of the books reference the ones that were written before that. One of my favorites was the Rogue Squadron Wraith Squadron series, which I think I have a couple of those books. Because you could tell that the author actually played the video games, and I played the video games too, so maybe I have to read those. And the characters were really compelling. I also liked the Tales From books, which were stories about all the background characters in a specific scene in the movies. Hope, I would recommend you try and find Tales From the Mos Eisley Cantina. I think you'd enjoy it.
You're not the first person to suggest those books to me, so... I just bought.
somebody from Rochester wrote one of those stories because they had copies of it in our comic store forever with you know, a local artist on it. But I don't know which story. Then Gene goes on to say, after the Phantom Menace, where Lucas decided to ignore the stuff that was approved for the books, it gets really hard for me to enjoy. I also never got into the whole New Jedi Order series where Chewie was hit by a moon and killed. It just went way too dark for me. Yes.
Wait, I knew he was killed, but he was hit by a moon?
Sure.
So, did Galactus show up and throw a moon at Chewbacca? Like, how is he hit by a moon?
I don't know. I never read it. I never really want to read it, to tell you the truth.
Okay, you hear this episode, what I want you to do is go, because I'll forget about this, and this is why I want you to say.
You can go to YouTube, and somebody's probably animated it into a video.
Well, I would rather hear it from Gene. So, Gene, what I want you to do, because I'm going to forget about this, I want you to go, Hope, in the comments, you asked how Chewie got hit by a moon. And then I want you to explain it to me. All right, Chris,
go on.
Tell
me a story, Gene. All right,
yeah,
we got one.
Story.
We got one here from Aaron Henley. Tell me a story about the moon.
Sing me a story. Sing me a rhyme. Sing me about the song Once Upon a Time. Ha.
When the moon hits a Wookiee like a big pizza pie.
That's a callback to my friend's old podcast. It's not around anymore. There was Greetings from Storybrooke, Once Upon a Time podcast. There used to be an old Disney show called Belle's Story, and that was the theme song, and they would play it like once an episode. So I know that song very well. It became a running gag. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, Aaron Henley says, yeah, I know what you mean there, Gene. 1999, I picked up the book looking forward to the first true sequential series with each book feeding into the next instead of more one-off adventures, and Chewie dies. Yes, he went fulfilling his life debt by saving Anakin, but still I had never cried reading a book before until that scene. I stopped reading Star Wars for a very long time after that. To put that into perspective for everyone, the only things I read were Star Wars books, nothing else. I show up at school with the Trek books and heads actually turned around in shock. I could see that happening in my high school with certain people too. Rogue Squadron was great, but when it switched to Wraith Squadron and a new writer, I think it got even better. With completely original characters except for Wedge, and to a much lesser extent, Jansen, Aaron Alston could do whatever he wanted and it worked. A Gamorrean X-Wing pilot's shunned from his society because he was experimented upon and made too smart to live with them anymore. A horse with multiple personalities, including a berserker that could switch at any time. A pilot with a massive grudge against Jansen and plans to kill him. So good. Also, the team had no one with any Force affinity, unlike Rogue did with Corrin Horn. Horn, really? Those were commandos and pilots with no special abilities. Okay, time to hit the library and pick them up again. And then Gene Hendricks says, Corrin Horn's arc going from Corsec to the Rogues to Jedi Academy was really nice, but I agree, Wraith Squadron was probably a better read. Then Aaron comes back with, Corrin was great, but only with... This is more all Greek to me. Corrin was great, but only when Stackpole wrote him. When he became
That's why I put these in, because like we don't talk EU, so it's nice to hear about EU stuff from other people, because it's not our forte. So that's why I wanted to include these comments, because we don't give really anything from the EU. So I like when we can hear about EU stuff, I think it's nice, because I think it helps round out our podcast.
I'm sure there's other people who have read these books, actually, besides us.
Yeah.
When he became full-on Jedi Knight Master, he lost a little bit. I, Jedi, was the first and I think only book told in first person. The way Stackpole weaved the events of the Jedi Academy trilogy with his own story was great. I'm not ashamed to say that when I play X-Wing on my PC that I name my R2 Whistler. I wish he was painted bright yellow and his top had a bit of rim sticking out. If you get that reference, you know whom I'm talking about. No, I don't.
I don't. So, yeah. I'm just going to eat candy now. We didn't pick our candy again. We
did not pick any candy this week again. What do you want to do? We've got from very large and heavy to teeny tiny and everywhere in between.
Let's do... Riz? Riz? Oh, it feels hard, though. Ooh, that just snapped right inside there.
Oh, there's Riz. Okay, I found Riz.
Okay. We'll do that one. It's hard. I picked it up and I like fiddled with it and it snapped in half.
Oh.
Aww.
Where is Riz from?
I'm looking. Kax is from Denmark. Kinder. I don't know.
I don't see Riz on this list.
Maybe it's the Ritter Sport. Is that it?
I don't know. It's very the writing on it's very Scandinavian.
It's I'm wondering if it's the Ritter Sport is also from Germany, because Gott is Germany.
This has Gunschwulver.
Yeah, I think it's, and I like it because Riz is like Riz on it.
Gunschwulver is another.
This is the closest thing I'll have to like Riz on it in my mouth. So
this
Riz is
like a salted caramel candy.
Ooh, but it has like a chocolate layer on it. Holy crow. If you're wondering why we're eating chocolate and candy, Chris is a baby and hates American Kit Kats. And so our friend Dario Gonzalez is a flight attendant and he sends us candy from all over the world to review. So, but it has chocolate. I wasn't sure about that. It looks like peanuts. Like there's some big things on the bottom. Oh man, they're not peanuts. They're giant Rice Krispies!
No more Rice Krispie things.
Holy crap! I'm so happy
this has
right
a,
now.
Has, this has a butterscotch flavor almost to it.
I don't taste butterscotch.
There's something wonderful going on in there.
I just taste chocolate and Rice Krispies. But I love the giant Rice Krispies, like right in the middle of it.
There's little balls of caramel in it, too. Some of those balls are... brown balls of caramel, and it must be the salt. It must be the way the salt's interacting with the chocolate.
And when I say like giant Rice Krispies, I mean like these Rice Krispies are like a size
massive.
Of a pea. Mm-hmm. They're like a pea, like in but for an entire chocolate bar. So there's pea-sized Rice Krispies spread out through this chocolate. Oh man,
it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, as always, thank you, Dario. We adore you. And we love you. Well, Where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com, where we have just added a new member. I think the name of his podcast is Charlie's Geek Cast. It's Charlie Niemeyer. has joined the group and is in the process of uploading all his songs to Two True, or all his songs, all his shows to Two True Freaks from his past catalog.
Do you want to mention that we're still looking for a new person to do our website?
We are, so far, unless we found somebody since in the 2 weeks between when we record this, which I doubt we will. We are looking for a new webmaster to do some web work, and that is a paid gig. So if you got some experience and you want to do some work for our website, get a hold of me through go on to the Facebook page, Two True Freaks, which is a good segue to the Facebook page. You got TwoTrueFreaks.com, you got Two True Freaks on Facebook. That's where most of the social activity goes, especially on the Two True Freaks cantina.
Lately, I've just been posting really dumb Star Wars stuff.
A lot of it, yeah. There's been a lot of dumb Star Wars stuff lately. I'm about to go up there and post. I found, and I didn't even know this was a thing, and it was on BET for a small amount of time. I don't even know if it was in America, but there was a Black Panther cartoon in 2010. Hmm. 8 years ago. And I watched most of the first episode, and it was really good.
Aww.
And it was kind of violent and bloody. There was a lot of death in it. A lot of death in the first few minutes. Let's see. You can go to Twitter and find Two True Freaks on Twitter, and our Twitter feed is run by Gene Gene, the podcasting machine.
You know, we've been doing so many variations. Let's just go back to the classic. Bum-ba-bum-ba-dum-bum. Gene!
Yeah, it feels good to go back to the originals.
Every once in a while, you just gotta revel in those classics.
Mm-hmm. But that's where you can find me. Where can you find you?
You can find me at JGuysAndJedi, where, well, it's not going to matter because it's going to come out like 3 weeks later, but I was about to say where you can see me cry over Rebels tonight, but it's not going to be tonight for you guys.
It'll still be there.
It will still be there. You can also find me on Twitter at Hope Molinex, and I'm also the news writer for WhatTheFangirl.com. This past week, I kicked off the weekend with a porg parade. I wrote like a little article where I found it's an old like cat. It's a meme where it was like a little kitty parade, but someone remade it with porgs, and it's just really adorable. And I also just wrote an article today. The band The Lonely Island, who's done songs like "I'm on a Boat," "Dick in a Box," "The Creep," they were actually commissioned to write a song for the Oscars, and the song was going to be about all the major blockbusters like Thor, Wonder Woman, It, Girls Night, I think it was. No, not Girls Night. Girls Trip, Star Wars, stuff like that, and like how they're never nominated for movies. But it was going to cost like $200 million to film this video. So The Lonely Island released the demo with like storyboards, and it's fucking hilarious, and it's so well done. So that's what I wrote today. So check us out over at whatthefangirl.com.
Well, Frances McDormand got a good plug in on when she won her Oscar.
Oh, it was so good.
I didn't see it, but I've just heard about it. But I heard she talked about like the actors with power should have an inclusion clause in their movies.
There was also the moment that was the most telling for me. She was just like, I just want all the women who have ever been nominated for an Oscar to stand up, whether it's acting, directing, writing, cinematography, and like 20 people in this auditorium
right.
stood up.
Right, exactly.
And it was so telling because like only like 15, 20 people stood up and everybody else was seated. And like, that was so telling in that moment. I was just like, holy shit. So it was really good. I also like, there's a part of the Oscars where when Mark Hamill, Kelly Marie Tran, and Oscar Isaac came out, but BB-8 came out too. And when BB-8 rolled up, like Oscar Isaac like tickled his belly just like he was, like he would do as Poe. Like he like, you know, made sure he was there and like tickled his belly and then like presented. It was so cute. It was such a Poe thing to do.
Getting in character.
I think Oscar Isaac, like if he could, he would actually take home BB-8 with him. He'd be like, this is mine.
Who wouldn't, man? Yeah. And he's been hanging out with him, so yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna go watch Rebels. Bye!
See you next week.
I promise. promise I won't run out on episodes now going forward.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
I got it in the tip of my tongue.
Come on.
Oh, golly, I'm not even... Let me see. Oh, Alexander Dumbass. Oh, Henry Dumbass.